Are we on?
This is the House Oil and Gas Committee. I'm the chairman, Dick Corn. We have with us Representative Dahlstrom, Representative Samuels, Representative Jewell, and Representative Gardner. Thank you very much. We have a quorum. We have one piece of legislation before us. My intent is to hang on to this bill for the time being, but we'd like to have the administration present the legislation, and we can have our public hearing, assuming that we have people that do wish to testify, and questions from the committee, and then examine this bill further and bring it before the legislature, before the House Oil and Gas Committee at a subsequent date. So with that, I'd like to call the representative from DNR, Jerry Burnett, forward to present the bill. Thank you, Jerry.
For the record, my name is Jerry Burnett. I'm the Special Assistant to the Commissioner of Revenue.
Thanks for having us, sir.
The Commissioner of Revenue, Bill Corbus, was unable to make the meeting because he was called away at the last meeting. He had intended to testify, so I'm sitting in for him. House Bill 71 was introduced by the governor. It's intended to encourage exploration and development of one of the largest undeveloped onshore oil and gas fields remaining in Alaska outside the North Slope. Development of this field has the potential to bring stable, high-paying, year-round jobs to an area which has traditionally relied on seasonal commercial fishing economy. Gas from this field can provide an efficient, relatively low-cost energy source for heating and production of electricity to the Alaska Peninsula area. And oil and gas development can provide infrastructure, lower the cost of living in the area. You'll see in your packet there's letters and resolutions of support from local government and native corporations that support the development of gas and oil resources in this area. Today, I was given a draft press release, which I believe we'll be sending out tomorrow if it didn't go out today, where the Department of Revenue has issued its first oil and gas exploration tax credit certificate under the existing legislation for a well in the North Slope drilled by Kerr McGee. So the program is working. People are very excited about it. There's some others in progress.
Was that the result of the Senate Bill 185 from 2 years ago then?
Yes, from the 2003.
Okay. Now, are they about to lose their tax credit availability on the slope? Because this bill is germane to just Bristol Bay, and we're providing a tax credit extension, if I understand, to just Bristol Bay. I ask that because I'm just wondering if we ought to expand the scope of this legislation and carry it outside of just Bristol Bay.
Well, at this point, the exploration tax credit is in effect for work done through 2007,
right,
statewide. And the Bristol Bay extension was being done because the lease sale in the Bristol Bay area will not be done until the spring of 2006. Okay. And so I was intending to have people online to testify,
and
I don't. Are they online now?
I assume that they are, but we've got several people here, so don't feel pressure that you can't answer technical questions about the.
Well, we're fine, but
they're having some phone problems.
What I would like to do is have our Gary Rogers, who's our senior tax auditor, talk about the bill if he gets online soon. If he doesn't, I'm prepared to explain the bill to you, and then we have people from the Department of Natural Resources to explain.
Is there anybody online at all, to your knowledge, Sherry? Okay. We're having technical problems right now, and apparently there's nobody online. May I ask if anybody can hear us online that might be there? Anybody online? I guess not. We'll try to get that corrected here momentarily. So why don't you go ahead and present what you can, and then we'll...
Okay. First thing I wanted I should talk about the Ways and Means Committee did a committee substitute for this bill. And in that committee substitute, they made technical drafting changes to the bill. They made no substantive changes to the bill. But they, for example, put the legal description of the area into a separate section of law. They took out references to temporary laws from the statute that had been put in by the AG's office.
Okay.
And there's no... But there are no substantive changes.
So I
just wanted to say, so if you have the CS before you, you can look at that.
Thank you.
The way the tax credits work, I believe there was a production tax credit thing on your desk when you came in here this morning. So I'll be happy to go through that. Under the first part of the bill, 4355.025A1, companies are qualified for 20% of exploration expenditures for a well 3 miles from an existing well, or 20% of exploration expenditures for a well 25 miles outside a unit, or both, so it's up to 40% of their exploration expenditures for a well. That is 3 miles from an existing well and 25 miles. And they are may qualify for up to 40% credit for their seismic expenditures not associated with a well. That credit can be taken against tax on production that's done after July 1st, 2004. And with the current law, statewide between July 1, 2003 and July 1, 2007, you could take the credits. With the passage of House Bill 71, it would extend the credits on the Alaska Peninsula for the sale, which is described in the bill, for the time period between July 1, 2003 and July 1, 2010. Exploration expenditures for seismic or geophysical exploration not connected to a well, or for exploration wells, which are the reasonably required cost of goods, services, rentals, and costs associated with abandonment of dry holes within 18 months of when they're drilled. Overhead costs are not allowed for either of these, so it's direct expenditures for the actual exploration activity or seismic activity. Exploration.
Representative Samuels.
Thank you. And for direct exploration activity, you mean drilling the hole, not building the road to the site,
well,
building the runway next to the site so you can actually get your equipment in?
Actually, that would be part of exploration expenditures, I believe. But what we're talking about is they don't use the expenditures back at the head office that are in support of this. So it's ones online. And if Gary Rogers gets online, then he could explain and be the best one to answer that question.
I'm here.
Okay.
All right. We heard that loud and clear.
Okay, Gary, I've actually, since you weren't online when we came in, I went through kind of how the bill works, what it does, and really probably you could just answer questions if questions from the committee.
Sure. Before he says anything, I just wanted to acknowledge my good friend Norm Rookberg, who's showed up. And he was here at 5:01, so he was basically on time. So thank you for that, sir. Mr. Rogers, did you care to offer any comments at this point? Mr. Rogers, Gary Rogers?
Can you hear me?
We hear you loud and clear, sir.
Okay, thank you. My name is Gary Rogers. I'm a revenue auditor with State of Alaska Tax Division.
Okay.
I've worked on the exploration credit regulations that were drafted as a result of SB 185 last year, and I also am responsible for auditing these exploration tax credits. So if there's any question you have for me on how it works or anything else, be glad to try to answer.
Well, thank you. Please stand by, and we'll use you as a resource if we need to.
Will do.
Okay. Jerry, and this might be a question for our friends at the Division of Oil and Gas, but I'm not hearing or seeing anybody stampede to our office anyway the need for this legislation. I haven't gotten any requests to hear the bill or any input from the industry for this legislation. Can you justify why we need the bill and right now, and how time-sensitive is this? In other words, do we need to pass this thing right away, or where are we with this? If you want me to direct that to Mark Myers, I'd be happy to do that.
Yeah, I think that would be best directed to DNR.
And we have just wanted to note that we've got numerous folks online for the benefit of the committee here to answer questions. We've got Janet Burleson-Baxter. She's here present then?
Mm-hmm.
Janet, where are you? Oh, hi, Janet. Thank you for joining us. And then we've got, I should know where you're with, who you're with. Please remind me.
Natural Resources.
Then online out of Anchorage, we have our friends in Division of Oil and Gas, Mark Myers, Marie Crosley, Pat Galvin, and Jim Cowan, who's a geologist with the division. Are you folks online that I just read? Mark, Marie, Pat, and Jim?
Yeah, this is Pat and Jim. Mark's not available at the moment.
Okay. Pat, would you care to take a stab at my question as far as the need for this legislation and how time-sensitive it is?
Yes. The legislation is needed in order to facilitate a successful initial lease sale for the Alaska Peninsula. The incentive credits is an opportunity that we see to encourage companies to look at this new lease sale that we're potentially going to offer in October. And what we recognize is that while we can go through the best interest finding process and develop the environmental safeguards to hold the lease sale and have it be successful in the eyes of the local governments, we need industry to feel that there is an opportunity for them to go out and have it be successful for them economically. And the incentive credits were put in place to foster exploration throughout the state, and to have them present for the initial sale is something that we feel is really important to really foster a successful first sale.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir. And just to more clarify what answer I was trying to seek an answer for, and that is how much does the industry actually want this? We can put forth a great bill, and the community might want it out in that region of the state, but is the industry looking to have this bill passed, and is this something that would spur them to actually start sinking wells?
Well, with any new lease sale, the companies are generally going to be somewhat reserved in their discussion of their interest in the lease sale because, frankly, they don't want to give any sort of commercial advantage or indication of their interest in order to provide any competitive, to create a competitive situation where there may not be one if they were to keep quiet about their interest. So one of the reasons why we do area-wide lease sales is because companies are just by their nature reluctant to provide a indication of a lot of interest in particular areas or particular tracks. And so with a new lease sale, we would not expect any particular company to come out and say, without or with this incentive credit, we will bid on tracks.
Okay.
It's just something that we would expect to have as part of the suite of incentives to get people to participate in the sale.
Or if nothing else, this could serve as a starting point. If it doesn't work, we can readjust it next year.
Right. At this point, we really don't know what kind of interest we're going to get with this sale. It's really going to be a matter of making it available and seeing who comes. And the incentive credits are just one thing to make the offer a bit more attractive to the companies that are looking at exploring an otherwise new area.
Yes, thank you, sir. I've got several more questions and comments, but I'd like to first go to fellow members here. Before I ask for Gardner to offer her questions, I'd like to recognize Representative McGuire, who joined us just a few minutes ago. So, Representative Gardner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we're thinking along the same lines, because my question is, the existing tax credits that were previously passed, have they created any new exploration? Has there been any interest? Have they been an effective incentive for exploration?
Could I speak
sure,
to that?
Sure, you bet.
As I said earlier in my testimony.
This is Jerry Burnett for the record.
This is Jerry Burnett to the chair, Representative Gardner. As I said earlier in my testimony, today we're releasing a press release that Kerr McGee, one of the independents that's exploring in, I believe, MPRA, has been issued the first tax credit. There are a number of other companies who are doing it. We can't speak about them without their permission for the most part, and so it's really difficult to publicly quantify, for one thing, and to quantify, and this program has only been in place for a short period of time. It does appear to be working at this point.
Thank you.
Again, Kermit, he was on the North Slope with the track they have up there, right?
Right.
And that gets back to my concern that perhaps we should extend this a little more comprehensively and not focus it only on Bristol Bay. But we can deal with that later. Mm-hmm. Representative Roachberg.
Oh.
I saw your hand go up.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just wondering here. I know I think Kermit McGee has North Slope leases that are working on this, but I am curious about some further follow-through on the Representative Gardner's question. I think we all have this question. When we passed this legislation, we had some major concerns about it. I think the committee would be very curious to get a report about who has applied for this and what impacts directly. We need to see some direct correlations. Additionally, I guess I'm concerned if you say, Mr. Burdette, that Kerr McGee is drilling wells in NPRA and then going to receive production tax and incentive credits for activity in NPRA. Is that correct?
Well, I really couldn't tell you exactly where this well
was. Mr. Chairman, I'd be very disturbed if that was the case, given the fact that we hardly receive a dime from money expended on exploration in NPRA and we're getting credits for it. So.
Yeah. Right. I may well have misspoke as to location.
I'd be most curious to have you straighten us out on that.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
This is Pat Galvin and Jim Callen in Anchorage again with Division of Oil and Gas. The Kerr McGee wells are actually on state land. They're both offshore and onshore North Slope.
I thought.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Perhaps I could enlighten us about NPRA and the credits.
Please.
There.
Happy to hear from you.
No, the chaps from Dog.
Okay. Pat, Mark is not with us right now, but Pat Galvin is there. Pat, would you address that for our benefit, please?
I couldn't. The two people were talking over each other. We couldn't hear the question clearly.
Representative Roper, would you please repeat
these
the question?
These credits that are now currently existing apply to exploration in NPRA?
Yes, they apply to exploration really throughout the state. There are three NPRA wells that have qualified for this credit.
Hmm. Our concern, I guess, Pat, is that, and this is Vic Coring, is that why are we giving a tax credit and a financial break to companies where we're not realizing a benefit from in that particular region?
Somebody call North Slope Borough.
Well, we do receive a benefit on NPRA. There's a royalty sharing, but without going into the specifics of that, we do, when the legislation was first passed, there were discussions with regard to limiting it to merely state lands, but the decision was made to make it statewide and not to distinguish between the land status.
Even, Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Cotrillo.
So they apply even to federal leases, Pat?
Yes, it applies regardless of whether it's a state, federal, or private lease, really.
Representative Rookberg.
If I could follow up, I just mentioned there was a decision made to apply them. Is that in the statute, or where was that decision made?
Well, the decision, when the legislation was first written, it was not made specific to state lands, which meant that it was applicable to all lands.
I don't believe this.
That was a bit of a loophole, if you ask me, that was overlooked by...
See, I don't understand that one.
Frankly.
They kept throwing the amendments across to get from the... Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, from the okay. gallery.
They weren't my amendments. Yeah. A couple more questions here for me, Vic Coring. Any opposition to this legislation, Jerry? I'm thinking mainly in terms of the environmental issues because Bristol Bay, of course, is considered the biggest red salmon fishery in the whole world.
Well, we're not aware of any, and I think maybe Department of Natural Resources could speak to that. But
yes, with the best interest finding that we just released the preliminary best interest finding 2 days ago for public comment, but we've been working closely with the local governments, Native organizations, to ensure that we've addressed the concerns of the fishing industry as well as protected the sensitive habitats out there. One thing to note is that while offshore acreage is available in the lease sale, there is no offshore drilling that would be allowed. The offshore acreage would have to be explored and developed from onshore drilling facilities using directional drilling techniques.
Okay, so strictly onshore. And that leads me to my next question, Pat. We have a map here in Juneau that Jerry has in front of him that I was looking at before the meeting, and it shows a boundary that is relevant to this legislation offshore by some kind of a two-mile limit or restriction or something. And what does that represent? Does that mean that you drill onshore, offshore directionally out potentially as many as 2 miles, or what does that outside boundary mean?
Correct. It's actually the 3-mile jurisdictional boundary of the state.
Okay.
And what it means is that while that state submerged land is available through the lease sale, the only development that could take place or exploration would be drilled directionally from an onshore drilling facility.
Okay. Thank you. Any more questions from committee members? Ms. Samuels?
Thank you. I'd like to see the map.
Yeah, if you could circulate that, that would be great. This is more of a generic question that I have, and I know these questions have been asked of this committee in the past, but just for the benefit of the new members here and myself, because I don't quite remember the answers, but number one, what kind of a potential are we looking for out there in Bristol Bay? I saw in the information here a number of 100 to 200 billion barrels. Is that roughly what you're looking at this point?
At this point, I'll turn it over to Jim Callen, who's the head of our resource evaluation section.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, the...
Who is this?
This is Jim Callen, for the record.
Hello, Jim.
I'm a geologist here with the Division of Oil and Gas.
Thank you for joining us, sir. What are we looking at potential-wise out there, Jim?
Well, we really don't have a good fix on this one. There has been no good resource assessment done in this just on the landward, good. The offshore part of this basin. But it looks like it might be from 35 million to 200 million barrels of oil. And about all we can say about the gas is several TCF of gas.
I assume that there's been substantial seismic work out there to identify that the geology is such that it represents good potential.
No, sir. There's been very little seismic work onshore. There's been a lot of seismic work adjacent to the state lands, okay. Offshore on the federal OCS acreage. And we've tried to project that onshore. There have, however, been about 13 wells drilled along that side of the peninsula.
Okay.
Dating back to as far back as 1903, I believe.
Okay.
But the last one was drilled in 1985. They do have some, they have oil and gas shows, almost all of them.
Okay.
And we have had a field party out there for almost a month. two field parties, or two sessions last summer, from the Division of Oil and Gas and the DGGS in Fairbanks, trying to get a quantification of the type of the reservoir and the potential. A lot of oil seeps. They came back, I think, pretty encouraged about the reservoir potential.
Okay.
And I think in partial response to an earlier question, there were field parties out there this summer from two major oil companies also. And that's about all we know right now about express interest by any particular members of the industry.
With such limited information out there and little or no seismic work done, other than test wells, I'm just kind of curious as to why there is such a concerted effort here to proceed. Not that I doubt there's potential out there, but it just seems like we're giving a lot of emphasis to Bristol Bay based on really nothing that we have so far.
Well, the area, it's been dormant, as you know, for 20 years. There was some activity out there about 20 years ago. But the offshore moratorium, the concerns about the fishing and the environment, it's been put aside until most recently.
Thank you. Representative McGuire.
Well, thank you. Well, Mr. Chairman, part of the reason that there isn't any current seismic done is just what was alluded to. This has been, was a controversial issue 20 years ago. There was extensive seismic that was done and a lot of interest, and frankly, the stakeholders could not come to an agreement at that point in time. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you had various native groups, you had various fishing groups, and the oil and gas industry infighting, and at the end of the day, the moratorium went into effect, and so here we are now. I remember last year before this committee, there was a lot of discussion about new seismic being done, and frankly, it's very expensive. But I think we all know from the information we've been able to gather that this is a phenomenal resource waiting to happen. But that being said, let me clarify something that I'm maybe misunderstanding here. This bill does not extend the 3-year date to the NPRA areas, does it? Isn't this just expanding the production tax credit to 2010 of July 1 for those competitive oil and gas area-wide leases that are on the Alaska Peninsula.
Yes.
Because I'm just concerned. I've heard a lot of referencing of NPRA and things like that, but I think we kind of need to stick back to what this bill is doing.
Right.
We may have regrets about the way that the bill itself came together in years past, but this particular bill really is simply a recognition of the fact that many of the folks that are interested in this competitive oil and gas area-wide lease sale may not be, they may not have things in place by 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yes,
we're talking about expanding it out 3 years. Am I losing sight?
I think you read that right, but Jerry, could you
Yeah, through the chair, Representative McGuire, that's exactly right, and that's mm-hmm. exactly the purpose of the bill, is to allow this very specific area, which is defined carefully in the bill with the legal description, to have an extension because it has not been leased yet.
Why even put a time on it? Why not just leave it open-ended?
Let's see if it works. That's a decision, and that's a type of policy decision that this committee should be looking at.
Thank you. Representative Gardner.
In answer to the question, Mr. Chair, I think mm-hmm. you want a timeline because otherwise it's not an incentive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you want to spur
Good point.
Activity now.
Good point. We ought to give them 6 months and really get them off their rear end. Anything else? Representative Roegberg.
Mr. Chairman, I would, the gentleman that was testifying, I would be very curious about getting a report on the initial bill, its impact on E&P activity in the state, exploration and the investments, and those credits that have been granted under this legislation. Where I agree with Representative McGuire that we need to focus on, I support the bill itself. I am most disturbed because we have this before us,
mm-hmm.
that there was controversy about the language. I find it a little bit disturbing, or more than mm-hmm. disturbing, that the administration would interpret language to without legislative input to apply to federal leases,
mm-hmm.
Particularly in consideration of the fact that we have limited revenues from those areas. In other words, we're subsidizing, we're giving out more money than we can take in. I mean, this is nuts.
Yes.
Excuse me. No. Like, if I have.
I know you're on the money. I feel the same way.
We have this bill before us, and that's why. I mean, I don't think I'm not going to support moving this bill until we get some answers on this.
Thank you.
And that can be clarified.
Just before you came in, I did announce that my intention was to hold the bill over indefinitely.
Okay. Indefinitely?
Well, that doesn't mean permanently.
You're a tough big guy. But anyway, Mr. Chairman, I think I would like to get some feedback. This is an important policy issue. There was a controversy when it passed, and this is certainly the proper venue to see how it's working.
I pledge
we're going to pass it on to another region. I mean,
I pledge we will follow up on that. We will get some information from DNR, including a written report as to the effect of SB 185 and so forth, and a clarification as to why they interpret the law to read that we could expand this to places like NPRA, which really wasn't our intent.
Right, because then their answer is not very satisfactory to me, because we didn't say so.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Any further comments at this point? What I'd like to do is to open up the public hearing. I don't have anybody from the public that has actually requested to testify, but I'd like to ask nevertheless online if there is anybody. Is there anybody online anywhere in the state that wishes to comment on this legislation? Don't hear anybody. Anybody in person that wishes to testify? Janet, did you have any comments for us? Okay, thank you. Appreciate your attendance nevertheless. How about the folks from DNR in Anchorage? Do you have any final remarks, ladies and gentlemen, before we conclude this meeting?
Nothing else, sir.
Okay.
Nothing from me.
Okay. Well, I guess with that, we'll conclude this meeting, and we will hold this bill over and bring it up at a later date, and in the meantime, we will get that information. And the meeting is now adjourned at 5:29, and the next meeting will be when, Charisse? March 1st.
Yeah.
With that, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everybody, for your participation.
Thank you.